In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are on Louisa and the Beatrix of All Divine Life, Part 3. We are on page 6, the bottom of the page, volume 35, 3, 6, 1938. Jesus begins with, "You must know." And when you read, "You must know," there, one book that was put together of the "You must knows," it's Jesus telling us, you have to know Louisa Picaretta. This is what you have to know. It is her gift. It is from her. She is the one that possesses it. And then the other book that we have is Be Attentive. Once you understand that this is Louisa's gift, and it's from her because of her docility, he says, then be attentive. Now I'm going to show you how this is going to be done and why this is going to be done. So as you begin to read and study and put this into practice, great things are happening. So Jesus says very, very clearly to us, you must know that all the beautiful and all the good things that Louisa has done, that the creature has done, Louisa has done, are deposited inside ourselves. This is the triune God. We, Triune God, attest to Louisa's love and the glory Louisa gives us. And forming her crown for her first entrance into our celestial fatherland. So here, Jesus is showing us that, number one, Louisa possesses this. But number two, that he's asking us to learn from Louisa how to do this. So when you read it, he goes, you have to understand this. You must know this, that all the beautiful and good things that you who are linked to Louisa do and what you have done are deposited also inside ourself because Louisa has done it. And now this will attest to your love and your glory that you give us, Triune God, and therefore will form a crown for you as your first entrance into our celestial fatherland. Now, again, what's important is that what Louisa has done, we have done. So in this prayer, we say, Lord, I want to do beautiful and good things in the most holy divine will. I want them to be deposited in yourself, Triune God, because they're yours. I'm doing this as you taught Louisa. I want to attest to my love for you, my glory for you that I'm giving to you, Triune God. And I want to form this crown so that I may enter into the celestial fatherland. Now, what's beautiful about this, and this is what you have to understand, there's no time or space with God. There's no time or space in the divine will. We are trapped in time and space. This is why Our Lady of Revelation said in 1947, we are now at the time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the era of the evil one. A new era has begun. What is essential is that we begin to learn how to do this, live in the divine will, as Jesus taught Louisa. So, since there's no time or space, what happens is when you say to Jesus, "I want to learn this," what Jesus begins to reign in us in such a way that since the Lord is there, He takes us to Himself. Okay, now again, this goes on to what we were talking about before, is the bilocation. He allows us to be with him in a mystical way where he teaches us. This is one of the reasons why when you read the Divine Will, you're so happy. I think God stops time and space. This is my own personal opinion. And he stops time and space. He brings us to himself. He talks to us. He teaches us. And then he gives us like a divine anesthesia where we are happy because he's taught us what this is about. But we don't remember anything. And I think in eternity, God is going to show us all those times he took us to himself. Many times when we pray, especially in the divine will, there time disappears. You'll be praying and talking to the Lord talking to you, and then you look at your watch and it's been 45 minutes and it only seems like a minute. What happens at that point is I really do believe that Jesus is so happy that you are spending time with him. So happy that you said, you've given your fiat and you said you want to live in the divine will linked to Louisa, that he does take us out of time and space and teaches us. Certain things will come to mind that you've never thought about, you've never experienced before. And don't be surprised by this. Remember, with Louisa, every night Jesus took Louisa and toured the universe with her, showed her everything. And for us, because we are not Louisa, the same thing could happen to us, but it's hidden for this time. So again, if you say, well, that can't happen, God says, of course it can't happen. You've said no to what God wants. See, it's to be open. Don't be surprised. Jesus keeps on saying that. I should do a talk on a surprise, but don't be surprised, Jesus says. Why? What he is doing is something that has not been seen before. Don't be surprised, you know. So he has a number of surprises that he wants to show us. Sometimes during tragedy, the Lord is with us. And when we get to heaven, he's going to show us those times that he was with us when we thought we were alone, when we thought that no one cared. The Lord loves us very much. And what you see here is something that's essential. He says, now let him speak to you. He says, all the beautiful and good things that you do in the divine will, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I want to pray in the name of everyone, everything, past, present, and future. I want the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray our rounds, everything that you do, Jesus says this, is deposited inside of God. It's one with God because he is doing that. I hear people say, well, I'm doing my divine will of rounds now. Wait a minute. What do you mean your? It's we live in our nothingness. Why? So that Jesus can do it. Attesting to our love for God. Attesting to the glory that we give to God. And forming the most beautiful crown of our entrance into the celestial fatherland. When you think about this, what Jesus is showing us is a new and more beautiful way of holiness. I remember it was the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia on May 14th, 2004. I was there. It was about 30 feet from the Pope. And he said, when he read the talk on St. Honorable de Francia, he says, we are now going to begin a new and divine way of holiness. What does that mean? A new and divine way of holiness. It's to begin to pray in a way that we never even dreamed of, a new and divine way of holiness. And that's what this great gift of the divine will is. So Jesus says, he says very clearly, therefore the most beautiful act of Louisa is to throw herself into our arms. Do we do that? You say to Jesus, I am nothing. I'm a little newborn. I can't walk. I can't talk. I can't feed myself. I can't do anything by myself. You must be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. Do we throw ourselves into God's arms? He says, this is the most beautiful act. Have we ever done that? There's a whole section on resting in the arms of Jesus. Go through that. It's beautiful. See, you don't put a little newborn on the ground and say, come on. The baby's just going to go, come on, what? I can't walk. I can't do anything. But what we can do is throw ourselves into the arms of God. We abandon ourselves in the arms of God. That's what Louisa did. Jesus says, this is the most beautiful thing. The Lord has great plans, and he doesn't want to frighten us. He's the Lord God Almighty, the holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. He doesn't want to frighten us. So he says to us, come to me. Throw yourself into my arms. Abandon yourself to me. Let us make whatever we want to make of you. Let me do what I want. Jesus said that to Louisa. He says, I'm going to make a divine masterpiece out of every one of the little children in the holy divine will. A divine masterpiece. No one is similar to the other. See, it's sometimes when we get into religious life, we want to be clones of the founder or foundress. We dress like them. We read their manuals. We listen to them when they teach us through their writings. We dress like them. We act like them. And that's why Jesus says, let's look at two ladders. He shows this to Louisa. One ladder was a wooden ladder going up to heaven. And he says, Louisa, what do you see on that wooden ladder? He goes, oh, she says, I see St. Clair and I see St. Francis and I see St. Dominic, all distinct and unique. And Jesus says, now I'm going to show you a golden ladder. What do you see there? This is the little children of the holy divine will climbing. What do you see? She says, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. See, we're to be in God's image and likeness. It goes beyond the lives of the saints. And so, to become that divine masterpiece, it's unique in all the world. When you go to a museum, you look at the oil paintings and the sculptures and the, you know, mobiles that are hanging. You look at the, you know, even the different types of paints that they use. Jesus says, I have thought of you from the beginning of time, and I have planned to make of you, each and every one of us, a divine masterpiece that no one can compare to. Now, in our lives, we have really screwed things up through sin. And what happens at that point? God may have planned this for us, and it is no longer possible. For example, maybe God has planned for some to be in the religious life or the priesthood, and what happens is they get married. And God says, well, my original plan was for you to be do this. Okay, let's rework this. In the divine will, we can repair and redo as if it never happened. In the divine will, everything can be done, redone in the divine will. How do I know this? Because this is what Jesus tells Louisa. He says that it will look as if Adam never sinned. Well, if Adam never sinned, it will look as if we have never sinned. Why? Everything's repaired. Everything's redone. How can this be? Well, this is the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Excuse me. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. That's the divine will. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Enkindle us the fire of your love. Okay, that's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we'll be recreated. And then you will renew the face of the earth through us. When we pray the rounds, when we do the prevening act in the morning, when we do our actual acts throughout the day, the world is being repaired, redone. All the sin is being redone as if it never happened. See, it's the prayer of the church, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He says, let us make whatever we want to make of this soul. That's what they did with Louisa. In time, as well as in eternity, it is a new beginning. It is a glorious new beginning. God is doing this. He has called us to begin to live this abundant life. How much our God loves us. That He would be saying this to us as He said it about Louisa. Again, let's just read it again. Therefore, the most beautiful act of Louisa is to throw herself into our arms, abandon herself, and let us make whatever we want to make of Louisa in time and as well as in eternity. And since we are linked to Louisa, the same thing happens to us. Only then do we, Triune God, get all the savor of making her one of the most beautiful statues to adorn our celestial Jerusalem. This is the work of art. This is the divine masterpiece that God is going to do for each and every one of us who begins to live in the divine will. You know, I have people say, oh, Father, I'm a worrier. I worry about my family. Jesus says very clearly to his apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? Then he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says, stop worrying. This is a command from Jesus. We're not to worry. I have total trust, total confidence in God. He is my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I believe. I have confidence. I have trust in Him. I have certitude that God is going to answer my prayers. Even if I don't see it in this life, I know, Jesus said, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. I believe in Jesus. And I believe in everything that He told Louisa. And I want everything that He gave to Louisa. I want to know everything that He taught to Louisa. I want to put into practice everything that Jesus taught Louisa. This is my life, living in the divine will. I want this more than anything. See, Jesus knows us. And Jesus has chosen us to live at this time. So as Louisa says, I remain surprised. And Jesus added, my good daughter, how I wish that everyone knew what it means to live in my most holy divine will. Do we know what it means to live in God's holy divine will? Do we know what this means? Try to explain to somebody what this means, what it means to live in the divine will. It's very simple. It's to possess the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary through little Louisa, the newborn. It's to begin to live a life there where Jesus is going to make of us a divine masterpiece. God does it. I know He's going to do this. Why? He has promised Louisa, and I believe it. My good daughter, how I wish that everyone knew what it means to live in the divine will, especially those who are reading the volumes. Do you understand what this means? It may seem incredible, but do you know why? Because they don't know what my holy divine will is. They don't know the whole series of prodigies that the divine will can do and wants to do in each and every soul. You see what Jesus is saying? You don't know why you think this is incredible? Because you don't know what my holy divine will is. You don't know the whole series of prodigies that it can do and wants to do in each and every one of us. So in not knowing the divine will, they believe that it is impossible that my holy divine will can do in souls all that I, God, am saying. That's what I find the saddest thing. The saddest thing is that you try to express this to good people, to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, and they look at you like you're crazy. They look at you and they said, well, why doesn't St. Thomas Aquinas teach about this? Well, if you think about St. Thomas Aquinas, he did. He never finished the Summa. He says, everything that I have written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. St. John of the Cross talked about it when he said, something greater is coming than what I have been taught. St. Teresa Lisieux said, how I wish I was living in the end times. I know God's got something great planned for them. St. Peter talked about it. He says, we are called to be divinized. But none of them had Luisa Picaretta. None of them had the Book of Heaven. We have the Book of Heaven. And Jesus is asking us, do you believe what I'm telling Luisa is true? If you believe it, you're not far from the Book of Heaven. Think about it. Jesus said to the apostles, you're not far from the kingdom. Luisa possesses the kingdom. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. The only thing Luisa doesn't have, and Jesus said basically, everything that I possess, I give to you, Luisa. The only thing Luisa doesn't possess is the resurrected body, the glorified body. Well, that's for the end times. Why do you think Our Lady of Revelation said, time has now come to an end? The new era is beginning. Lucifer is not going to be in charge anymore. Why? The kingdom of God is coming upon earth as it is in heaven. Why do you think the church is going through what the church is going through? Jesus said to Luisa, I have to purify the world and the church before they can accept this gift. It is the most beautiful of all the gifts. And the world is not worthy of it. And there are those in the church that are not worthy of it. So he's saying, I'm going to purify the church. The saints have said the church, the bride of Christ, must go to Calvary to be crucified. That's where the church is going. What does that mean? It means resurrection is coming. That's why Jesus said to Luisa, I rose from the dead. Why? So people will rise from the dead now, not after they die. Why? To begin to live heaven on earth now, not after we die. What does that mean? That means to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. So he says to Luisa, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, they're anticipating hell. Is that the life you're living? He says, those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. Is that the life you're living? If it is, there's no more worry. I trust Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I hope in Jesus. I have confidence in Jesus. And I believe what he said to Louisa is true. And I want to begin to live this life now. Jesus said, "Oh, if souls only knew what it means to live in the divine will. What it does and says is little. What it does and says is little. It is the knowledge that puts us, Triune God, on the way to the soul and prepares our place, forming the space in which to put our unheard of prodigies." The saints did not know about this. Unheard of prodigies. The angels did not know about this. Unheard of prodigies. This is for his little children of the holy divine will. Unheard of prodigies. What does it say? What it does and says is little. These 36 volumes, Jesus says, is little. He tells us that it's the drops of water falling off Louisa's body as she exits the infinite ocean of divine love. That's the 36 volumes. But Jesus says, read this, study this, put this into practice. I will teach you. I will show you. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. The Book of Heaven says, does and says little. It is the knowledge of this, the study of this, that puts us, Triune God, on the way to the soul, and then prepares God's place in us, forming the space in which to put God's unheard of prodigies in his children. It's knowledge that forms the eyes to be able to view and appreciate our divine wonders. As you learn this, you begin to see divinely. As you learn this, you be able to view. As you learn this, you will be able to appreciate God's divine wonders. Nobody's there yet. Nobody's there yet. Because Louisa is the only one that possesses it at this time. We get glimpses of it. And Jesus is asking us, do you want this? All is a prodigy for Louisa, the one who lives in our divine will. All is a prodigy for the souls linked to Louisa who want to live in the divine will. God's got this all set. And he says, I was reading this morning in the calendar, he said what he's looking for is for people to desire it. He says, how often did you you drool because you want the taste of the divine will? You want to, you're focused on looking at the divine will. Your heart is pitter-pattering with love because you want this gift. You're out of breath for running after this gift. Jesus says, when I see this, I go into ecstasy. Someone wants this gift. Someone wants not to live in their human will any longer, but in my most holy divine will. All is a prodigy for Louisa and little souls linked to Louisa who want to live in our most holy divine will. So then he says again, you must know. This is, again, a command from Jesus Christ that as Louisa does her acts in my holy divine will, all created things remain animated by Louisa's will, Louisa's word. Everything, what does that mean? Everything is that's filled with this I love you of God is returned back to God with a divine I love you. It's Jesus that's doing it in Louisa. See, to be in God's image and likeness. Again, image through holy baptism, likeness to begin to do what Jesus taught Louisa. He says very clearly, as you do your acts in my most holy divine will, linked to Louisa, all created things remain animated. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water, every star at the sky at night, every planet, every animal, vegetable, and mineral, every human being whose heart ever beat, from the moment they are conceived. And I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. Everything becomes animated by whom? Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. By her will and by her word. All things possess a voice. Did you hear what Jesus is saying? He said that about the rocks. Even the rocks would cry out. All things possess a voice. We are the one to speak it. Some say love. Some say glory. Some say adoration. Some others say thank you. Still others say blessing to our Creator. I love you, my Creator. I give glory to my Creator. I adore you, my Creator. I thank you, my Creator. I bless you, my Creator. With Jesus' love, with Jesus' glory, with Jesus' adoration, with Jesus' thank you, with Jesus' blessing, as Jesus is reigning in me in the most holy divine will. To adore you and love you and praise you. Not humanly anymore. But Jesus in me is adoring you. Jesus in me is praising you. Jesus in me is loving you. I want to be what God has called me to be. Jesus says, what harmony they form in the atmosphere. What a sweet enchantment to such an extent that we, Triune God, feel enraptured. Do you see what's happening? A new beginning. But whose voices are these? They are the voices of those who live in our most holy divine will. It's Jesus praying with our voice. Adoring the Father, praising the Father, glorifying the Father, loving Jesus with his own love, adoring Jesus with his own adoration, loving the Holy Spirit with his own love, praising the Holy Spirit with his own praise. See, to be in God's image and likeness is to do what God does. And that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to say, I want to accomplish this as Louisa accomplished this. I want to participate in this as Louisa participated in this. What a glorious time to be alive. The saints loved God humanly. Jesus is teaching us to love God divinely to such an extent that God feels enraptured. Why? Because the souls that are living in the divine will is letting God do this in them. God is doing this in them. Hopefully, God is doing this in us. We're allowing God to reign in us, to rule us, to be intimate with God to such an extent that he is beating in our heart beating. It's not us anymore. He is breathing in our breathing. It's not us anymore. That's what enraptures God. He sees himself in the soul. We get out of the way and let God do, as he says to Louisa. Let me do this, Louisa. You can't, but I can. And that's why I created you, Jesus tells Louisa, so that I can reign in you as I originally planned. And you could participate in God as I originally planned. Everything that I'm doing, you can do as much or as little as you want. I want much. 100%. I want to overflow you with all divine qualities. But you have to get out of your human will. You have to use your free will to choose to live in God's holy divine will. It happens as when voices and chants are enclosed inside instruments of wood and of metal. The instruments sing, the instruments speak. It is the same for the one who lives in my holy divine will. Her love to see me loved and glorified is such that she encloses her will, her voice, her love inside the created things. So think about that. Jesus says to Adam, I want you to be the voice of all creation. I could have put voices on everything, but I want you to be the voice. Okay, think about this. We want to see God loved and glorified. That's why Adam was created, to give back to God what is God's. And then she encloses her will, her voice, her love inside the created thing. Every leaf on a tree is God's I love you to us. We've got to begin to hear those I love yous and see those I love yous and smell those I love yous and taste all those I love yous. That's heaven. And then we want to accept them into us and then give them back to God. I love you for every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand. To narrate, listen to what he says. He says, to some to narrate to me the story of my love. I love you. I thank you. I praise you. I love you. Some to sing of my glory. And it's a song. Let God teach you a song of love. It seems that all things have one thing to tell me. Okay. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you. Everything is to give back to God all the honor, all the glory, all the praise that our God so rightly deserves. So let's look at all of creation. Somebody was talking to me today, oh, I hate getting distracted when I pray. And I said, well, you know, Teresa told that to Jesus. Tell this nun to stop splashing me with water when we're washing dishes. It distracts me from prayer. And Jesus says, I love it when she distracts you. So what does Teresa do? She stands closer to the nun splashing the dishes. So she gets soaking wet and gets yelled at by the Mother Superior. When we pray, Jesus wants us to be distracted. And that doesn't sound right, does it? Well, I've got to focus. I've got to be intense. Well, when you're in prayer, there will be a dog barking outside. Constant, loud, annoying, constant. And Jesus is saying, what are you going to do about this? Are you going to be peaceful? And you go, yes, Lord. Okay. I want that dog's bark to be an I love you to you, Lord. And not only that dog, but all dogs, past, present, and future. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. Every time the dog barked, every time that any dog barked, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. A siren goes by. Lord Jesus, be with the sick. Be with the dying. Lord Jesus, give that last testament of love to that individual if they are dying. Lord Jesus, bring healing to that person. But not only that person, but everyone who has ever suffered, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional prayer. Lord Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. Do you see what happens? The distractions become your prayer. Jesus is in charge, not you. When a bird chirps, Lord, for every I love you, every time the bird chirps, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. See, what God is doing, he's saying, let me teach you how to pray. Let me fill you with the I love yous of all of creation, all the praises of all of creation, all the glory of all of creation. When you're trying to be good and holy and saintly, you have a regiment. You say, okay, this is, I have to pray this, and I got to make sure I get this prayer done. And I remember when I was in the seminary back in 1964, I had a list of all my family, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, my neighbors, my friends. I had a list, and I would pray for everyone. And Lord Jesus, for this, and Lord Jesus, for this, and for uncle so-and-so, and aunt so-and-so, and yeah, and for my neighbor here. I would not finish the list. And I said, I'm not getting any prayers done. Every day, I'd go through the list, and I'm praying for, and I'm praying for, and I'm praying for, and I never get through the list. Until one day, I said, I got to pray. So I held up the list. I said, for everybody on this list, now it's the same way. In the divine will, it's for everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And then you, Jesus, tell me who to pray for. If you get a phone call of somebody that's in the hospital, Jesus is saying this. When you go to the cemetery and you look at the tombs of the soldiers, the gravestones of the soldiers, all the wars, all those that were killed in battle, to be there while they were shot or wounded or bombed, to be there with them, to be there and cover them with the blood of Jesus. Let Jesus show you what he wants. This is what God is asking. He's asking us to do this. So he says, it happens when voices are and chants are enclosed inside instruments of wood and metal. The instrument sings and speaks. It's the same for the soul who lives in my most holy divine will. Her love to see me loved, to see me glorified, is such that she encloses her will, her voice, and love inside all the created things that are out there. Some to narrate me the story of my love, some to sing of my glory, and it seems that all things have one thing to tell me. Oh, how happy I, God, feel in seeing that the soul masters the entire creation, and as queen as she is, animates all and makes me loved by all. Do we do that? Or do we have our list? Oh, how sweetly she resounds to our divine hearing. Find things that no one has ever thought about. Say to Jesus, what do you want me to pray for today? What is the need today? What do you want me to focus on today in the name of everyone and everything? What do you want me to animate today to make you be loved by everyone and everything? Show me, Lord, how to do this. See, when we're rigid, when we say, this is what I've got to do, God might have a bird, you know, tapping on the window saying, I'd like to hear all the birds sing I love you through you. And we go, no, I've got these prayers that I've got to do. See, this is the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, to let God direct us, lead us. It's peace, joy, and happiness. Nothing will bother you. Everything will be ecstasy. Why? Because you're letting God lead you through any distraction that he wants to give you. Remember what he said to St. Teresa? It pleases me that she distracts you. Why would God be pleased by that? Because then we focus on God. Whatever you want. Whatever you say. Fiat. The Lord loves us greatly. And he's saying, I have so much to give you. But let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me direct you. So Jesus says, I gave everything to Louisa. And now to us, he's given us everything. Louisa gives me everything back. Do we give everything back to God? So I return everything again back to her. It's catching. It's the, you know, when parents play catch with their child. Here. It's like, it's this game that Jesus wants to play with us. I will give you everything like I gave to Louisa. Louisa gave me everything back. Will you give me everything back? If you give me everything back, he says, I will return everything back to you. And this game will continue for all eternity. Something more beautiful, more holy, more precious, unheard of prodigies will be given to us. See, this is not rules and regulations. It's freedom of the sons and daughters of God. This is pure joy, pure happiness. When we let God be in charge, when we say fiat in all situations, God has great plans, and we're in them as much as we can say fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.